This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. If you have paid any attention at all to the presidential campaign, you've probably heard Republican Donald Trump talk about trade, and specifically the trade deficit. That is, the gap between what we sell to and buy from other countries. Trump blames it for costing American jobs. The real picture is a bit more complicated. We've got Neil Irwin from the New York Times to explain. He just wrote about this. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to make our understanding of trade policy great again?
I'll do my best. It's a big lift.
Why don't you start by defining the trade deficit?
Well, the easiest way to think of it, two countries, one country buys stuff from the other sells. If there's a gap in that, that's the trade deficit.
You had a nice way of illustrating this in your column with Banana Land and Car Nation. You want to walk us through this nice simplified version?
Sure. You know, economists love to simplify things. So imagine there's only two countries in the world, and they only make two products. One country makes bananas, that's Banana Land. The other only makes cars, that's Car Land. If the people in Banana Land buy $2 million worth of cars, and the people in Car Land buy $1 million worth of bananas, there's a trade deficit. Banana Land has a trade deficit of $1 million with Car Nation. Now, the thing is, it's not like that's just money that's being thrown down the drain. That's money that they're getting cars for. So it's not just a situation of charity or giving money away. It's something where there's a real economic exchange happening.
The thing that we hear Donald Trump say again and again is this idea of winning and losing at trade as applied to the deficit. So I feel like if he were to take your analogy and stretch it, there would be winners and losers here. But it's not that simple.
It's not. I mean, one way to think of it is you could actually reverse what the Trump argument is and say, well, you know, the United States, we have a $58 billion trade deficit with Mexico. That's true. On the other hand, you could look at it through this perspective. Mexicans are giving us $58 billion worth of stuff more than we're giving them. You know, who's really losing or winning in that situation? I think that framing really is misleading and can lead to some bad economic analysis.
Well, how would you define his understanding of the trade deficit, though?
Well, it is true. Here's the part that's absolutely true about the Donald Trump theory of trade. When you're running a trade deficit like the United States does, that does mean you're going to have fewer jobs creating those products that otherwise would be exported. So it is true that plenty of countries like China and Germany try to have trade surpluses for different domestic reasons. That said, what you have to really look is the whole system and whether there are countervailing forces that make that a different story. And the truth is, in these situations, it's not just that the U.S. has a trade deficit with China, for example. It's also that capital is flowing from China into the United States. Then the question is, what do we do with that money?
Well, okay, spin this out. What would happen if we were just like, you know what, screw it. Let's not run a trade deficit.
Well, it'd be trickier than you might think, because partly it's not just about trade. Partly the trade deficit is about the international currency arrangements.
I.e. the global reserve currency.
It's the global reserve currency. So the U.S. dollar is more than just the currency for the United States. It's really the bedrock of the entire global financial system. What that means is people all over the planet want dollars for different reasons that have really nothing to do with the United States. It's just that's where you park money. The problem is that creates this constant demand for dollars that props up the value of the U.S. dollar and helps feed these persistent trade deficits the United States keeps having.
What do we get from being the global reserve currency, do you think?
You know, there's a surprising amount of geopolitical power, of international affairs power that comes from having people all over the planet use your currency, use the U.S. dollar. That takes different forms. One of the biggest is that we have the ability to use trade sanctions and financial sanctions to try and get our way in international foreign policy. Essentially, because banks all over the planet need access to dollars and need access to the dollar funding markets, they can't just ignore U.S. rules on sanctions and so forth. So when it comes to Iran, when it comes to Russia, North Korea, the U.S. has a power that it might not if the dollar was just one of dozens of currencies that were being used for international trade.
Neil Irwin is a senior economic correspondent for The New York Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One other issue that's come up a lot in the election, debt. 77 million Americans have at least one debt in collections. That's one in three of us. And if you're one of them, well, we want to hear from you. Go to our Facebook page to tell us your story. We might feature you in our upcoming collaboration with Frontline and PBS NewsHour called How the Deck is Stacked.